Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian nationalist patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, coming at you off of another hopefully restful weekend. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Monochromatic Monday, where the truth of God is black and white.
Yes, it is.
And boy, well, yeah, I had a great restful weekend. How about you?
Yeah, it was really nice. Sabbath was really great. A lot of really great teachings that we indulged ourselves in, and Bible reading. And
that's right.
It was just a nice time to unplug. And it was hard to do, too, because...
Yep.
Well, we're kind of news junkies, but also, you know, just being watchmen on the wall and the ground war kicking off in Israel, you know, I wanted to look so badly.
Right.
And yeah. I did a couple times just to make sure that, you know, there's nothing inbound that we need to absolutely know about. But yeah, prayers for Israel, it's on. So,
well, you're not kidding. And what was interesting, of course, was, you know, going back to the word of the day on Friday.
Yes.
That was so amazing. From Esther chapter 9, 1 through 6 and verse 16, that the Jews destroy their tormentors.
Yes.
And, you know, that was the day that they went into Gaza, that the troops actually officially went into Gaza.
The ground war officially kicked off.
Yep. And then, of course, we posted the word of the day for Sunday, which came from 1 Chronicles chapter 10. And the leading into that was the whole listing, you know, the endless listing, how you see sometimes of all the names of the sons that were going to battle.
Yes.
called from each of the 12 tribes, 22,000 here, 17,000 there,
right.
30,000 there, you know. And so then, of course, that word of the day was basically that they had all of these, you know, gazillions of troops to fight the Philistines, right?
And
that was regarding the tragic end of Saul and his sons, which wrapped up in a nutshell in verse 13 and 14, basically say that, so Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance, but he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he, with a capital H, killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. And so then the word of the day for Monochromatic Monday comes to us from Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 38. And on that same page, I had to go back because the whole on both pages was all the sons of all the families listed again.
Oh, so-and-so, son of such-and-such.
Yeah,
such.
Another whole list of all these bazillions of
right.
people that, you know, of course, it's kind of like the Lord's pointing out, the genealogies are all there.
Well, that's,
I mean, that's, you know,
exactly.
these are generation after generation listed in the Bible by name of people that lived there and have been there ever
yes.
since God gave it to them.
It's their lineage.
And, right.
And we, you know, at first we were tempted to skip over this. Oh, we don't need more begats, you know,
so and so,
son of so and so, son of so and so. But then you're like, hold on a minute.
This is two
random scripture turnings, you know, praying, Lord, show us what you want us to talk about.
Right, to the lists of all of the specific
yes.
people.
And here the argument right now on the world scene is whether or not Israel has the right to the land. And
right, that they just showed up. They just showed up in 1948
right,
and they're just occupiers.
Occupiers, right.
Which is such a joke, you know, because, I mean, all of Nehemiah chapter 9 is describing, how God first gave the whole land to them, you
right.
know, way back when he delivered them out of Egypt with the Pharaoh. I mean, so they go back to the times of the pharaohs, for crying out loud, how long they've been in Israel.
Even,
And so the word of the day, half the way through Nehemiah, because I can't read the whole thing here, but the verses for today are 23 through 38. And I'd encourage everybody to just read all of chapter Nehemiah 9 and 10 if you get a chance today.
I really
it's
Nehemiah.
Very, very interesting because it basically starts out, okay, God delivered his people. He gave them this land and then they screwed up and they hardened their necks and they did not heed his commandments and they turned away from him. And so God brought in their enemies and stomped them, and then he had mercy on them and let them come back. And this is like, this happens like four times in this chapter,
right?
So he's highlighting the fact of, I gave it to you, and when your enemies show up, it's as a spanking. And so verse 23 reads, "You also multiplied their children as the stars of heaven and brought them into the land which you had told their fathers to go in and possess," right? It even says it right there in that verse.
Yep.
"So the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they wished. And they took strong cities and a rich land and possessed houses full of all goods, cisterns already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and grew fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, cast your law behind their backs, and killed your prophets who testified against them to turn them to yourself, and they worked great provocations. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their enemies who oppressed them, and in the time of their trouble, when they cried to you, you heard from heaven, and according to your abundant mercies, you gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they again did evil before you. Therefore, you left them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies, and testified against them that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, and would not hear. Yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets, yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them, nor forsake them. For you are God, gracious and merciful. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy, do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come upon us, our kings and our princes, our priests and our prophets, our fathers and all your people, from the days of the kings of Assyria until this day. However, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. Neither our kings nor our princes, our priests nor our fathers have kept your law, nor heeded your commandments and your testimonies with which you testified against them, for they have not served you in their kingdom, or in the many good things that you gave them, or in the large and rich land which you set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. Here we are servants today, and the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty, here we are servants in it, and it yields much increase to the kings you have set over us because of our sins. Also they have dominion over our bodies and our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. And that's the end.
Very cool.
And so, you know, this is, we keep saying the Bible is a historical document. It's very accurate. And not only is it a historical document, but it's the historical document of God's interaction with people. And so, you know, that it's not just history. It's a spiritual history as well as a geographic history and an origin, you know, of all of these different peoples, where they came from.
Right.
What happened to them. And, you know, it's
what happened to them and why. And a reminder that God's covenant is still in effect.
That's
even
right.
If he temporarily removes them away from the land as punishment, the promise is that it is their land.
Right.
And it will be for all, you know, end of time, except for those temporary periods of time when he, you know, separated them from it. But it's theirs. He gave them to them. They have the deed and title to it.
Absolutely.
And there's the proof.
And, you know, it's we're not unlike the Jews. In fact, no person in the world is unlike the Jews. They, you know, God sets before them just two simple choices. They're so simple. And he says, I set before you today, this day, life or death. Choose
right.
life. And that's the only thing that he offers to every single one of us.
Yes.
And nobody can get it right. There is not a sinless person alive except for Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And so that is why Jesus Christ came. Is because
he had to, yeah.
He had to. There's not a single one of us out there that is any different than any of the Jews.
Yeah, we so true. We all make the same mistakes. And that's why he brought it salvation for the world.
Yep, that's right.
Because we're all in the same boat.
Yep, exactly.
They have a special covenant with the Lord, obviously, and this tied to the land. But yeah, we all need Savior. We need that mercy.
We need to be able to repent and turn from our ways because, you know, there's this ongoing question that lots of people seem to have. It's what is the unpardonable sin, right?
Right.
And the unpardonable sin is the sin that you won't repent of and turn away from, right? Because we're called.
That's what grieves the Holy Spirit.
Yes, exactly. And so we're called, every single one of us, every single Jew throughout history has always been called to repent and turn completely away from your sins.
Right.
You know, basically purify your heart, correct your thoughts.
Yes.
That you don't even want to think in that direction anymore. And it becomes abhorrent to you to even think like that.
Right.
And so, you know, but that's what he's saying in Nehemiah chapter 9 to his people. He's saying, I keep doing good things for you. I keep having mercy on you. I keep having to spank you, and then I have to have mercy on you
yes.
again, and I bring you back, and I bring you back, and you break the law, and I bring you back. And so this is like the ongoing mercy of the Lord. That thank goodness for that. That
yeah.
his biggest attribute, the one that he considers most important, is, well, first of all, love, but then of course mercy.
Yeah, and it's not just the story of Israel, is the story of humanity.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And like verse 29, it says, verse 28 says, yet they returned and cried out to you. That's always what happens. They screw up and then they return and cry out to you. And he hears from heaven. And it says, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies and testified against them that you might bring them back to your law.
Yep.
And so it's the law is something that in this time is being greatly showcased as something that is very, very good, right? Because look at all the lawlessness that we're seeing. The lawlessness is a sheer horror out there today.
Yeah.
And I mean, the law is what keeps people civil. The law is what makes people regulate themselves,
right.
You know, that you feel a conviction of the Holy Spirit and you go, oh, I can't do that. There's no way I'm going to do that. You basically are, you know, you're under God's laws, and it keeps your life better for not just you, but for the entire whole of society.
Exactly. Yep. That's a good one. Good reminder. And wow, how appropriate and timely.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, so that one is Nehemiah 9?
Yep, Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 38.
All right, there you go. That's a good one. And I also recommend, read 8, 9, 10, 11.
That's
just,
yep.
You know, but 9 yep. and 10 in
9 and 10
Nehemiah.
For sure.
Very
right.
cool.
Yep.
All right, well, let's go and thank you for that.
Oh, praise God.
Yep. And we'll take a break here. This segment brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level. And now's the time to do it, to double down. But the website is prepping2-0.com. Check it out and stick around. We'll be back with segment two of the morning commute right after this. Coleman Underground, local band out of Spokane, taking us into the break with God is Great.
Number three on our list of obligations is to understand socialism and all the cunning disguises in which it presents itself to the American people. Our fourth obligation is to understand propaganda techniques as used by both the communist and the socialist. This is a very vitally important need. Thousands of good, loyal Americans have been duped into actually aiding the communist, simply because they did not look carefully before they joined some high-sounding venture, or before they more or less blindly advocated some course of action.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder, select your preferred carry style, and order your holster today.
Welcome back, Patriots, to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. And we appreciate your support. Those of you who have helped and stepped up, we're very grateful. But we can always use more help. With your support, we are listener supported overwhelmingly, and you can go to radiofreeredoubt.com, click on the donate to RFR tab, and that'll open up the page where you can find the different ways you can support us. All right, well, Lady Liberty, oh sheesh.
Yes, everyone, man. welcome back to Monochromatic Monday.
Yes.
Oh my gosh,
we've got so much stacked up here. I'm not going to be able to get through it all, but
well, let's just start with the best news. The best news being all of the fantastic things that we're hearing about the new Speaker of the House.
I am impressed so far.
So am I. Yep. I had no idea that he is a staunch, devout Baptist Christian. And you know, that is so fantastic to hear.
In an interview, it was great. We saw him quoted as saying, open up your Bible and read it. That's my worldview.
Yep.
When he was asked, you know, what do you stand on these different issues? What's your worldview?
That's like, right.
There you go. And so, you know, he just announced I think it was yesterday, that the House Speaker Mike Johnson says the House will vote on Israel aid this week, leaving out aid for Ukraine.
Yes, exactly.
It's about time we had some adults show up.
Right, and we've got a clip that's covering that. But before we get to that clip, let me just read to you what he told all the rest of the House. He says, I want to tell all my colleagues here what I told the Republicans in that room last night. I don't believe there are any coincidences in a matter like this. I believe that Scripture, the Bible, is very clear that God is the one that raises up those in authority. He raised up each of you, all of us, and I believe that God has allowed and ordained each and every one of us to be here at this specific moment. And he also said, this is my belief. I believe that each one of us has a huge responsibility today to use the gifts God has given us to serve the extraordinary people of this great nation, and they deserve it.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
That's about time.
Is that
now, if we could
not
just clear out the White House, we'd actually be heading in the right direction.
Well, and I think he's probably headed that way. In fact, he does say that in that clip that we're going to play. We don't have that part in the clip because it's actually 10 minutes long. So we have specific parts that are very, very pertinent to this nation. In fact, we'll just go ahead and play it for you now.
New Speaker of the House, as he then put the House back to work on appropriations bills, funding the government. Joining me right now with the road ahead exclusively in his first Sunday morning interview since being elected Speaker of the House, Republican Congressman Mike Johnson. Mr. Speaker, thanks for being here and congratulations.
Thank you, Maria. It's great to be with you. I've looked forward to talking with you after this long 3-week episode that we had. But I'll tell you right now, we're energized and back to work.
And tell us what your priorities are. I know that you attended the RJC last night, the Republican Jewish meeting. Tell me about that and what your priorities are now as the newly elected speaker.
Yeah, that was very important, more than symbolism. As soon as I took the gavel, our work began, and we passed the resolution, as you noted, in strong support of our strong ally and great friend Israel. We had to do that. And then I flew last night to Las Vegas and spoke to the Republican Jewish Coalition, as you noted, to send a further signal that this isn't a priority for our country, and we cannot allow the brutality and the just unspeakable evil that is happening against Israel right now to continue. We're going to stand with our friends.
So what is your response, and have you spoken to the president about his request to tie the money together between Israel and Ukraine?
Well, listen, we're going to move a standalone Israel funding bill this week in the House. I know our Republican colleagues in the Senate have a similar measure. We believe that that is a pressing and urgent need. There are lots of things going on around the world that we have to address, and we will. But right now, what's happening in Israel takes the immediate attention, and I think we've got to separate that and get it through. I believe there'll be bipartisan support for that, and I'm going to push very hard for it.
Do you believe there'll be bipartisan support in the Senate? Will it pass muster there?
I think it will. My intention is not to use this for any partisan political gamesmanship. This is a very serious matter, and we heard firsthand reports last night at that event. They were telling us the terrible things that are happening there, the atrocities there. I can't even repeat to you on television some of the things that they told us firsthand that they've seen in Israel at the hands of Hamas and their accomplices. And so we've got to address this now. We should not waste any more time, and I think we'll get it through the House this week.
What should be the response to all of this anti-Semitism we're seeing on colleges' campuses? Has the administration taken that on?
I don't think they've taken a stance on it at all that I've seen, certainly not a strong one, but we should. It's just despicable. We're seeing this happen on college campuses across the country. Our public universities and our private universities used to be the bastion of free speech and debate and respect for opposing views. We don't see that anymore. And even I saw a report early this morning. I only got about 2 hours of sleep last night, but when I saw the headlines on the way out to come visit with you, I saw that there was a physical disturbance at Tulane University in my home state, down in the New Orleans area. We've got to get a handle on this, and there's a lot of measures here in the House and ideas that House members are discussing on how we might try to jam the House and force an omnibus spending bill. We're not doing that here anymore. We're having single subject bills in our separate appropriations bills, and so pushing that into January, I think, would assist us in that endeavor. There may be some conditions put on that, perhaps.
That is sounding very, very promising. That's what we want to hear.
And, no kidding. Oh, you
know,
my gosh.
That's, you know, Trump addressed this situation on the college campuses. He's like, look, if you're here on a student visa and you're protesting Israel in support of Hamas, you're out of here.
Right.
And that's exactly what should happen. And these universities need to get their funding pulled. But, you know, this Biden regime is, they're on the wrong side. I mean, they're giving lip service saying that they're supporting Israel. But, you know, they're doing a lot of arm twisting, too.
That's right.
They're trying to hamstring Israel in this response.
Well, and that's the thing, too, that I really, really, that piqued my interest right there. As soon as he nailed that subject, that they're no longer going to allow all of these multi-subject bills. He said, we're going for single subject bills.
Absolutely.
So that none of this slimy Schumer garbage is going to happen where they, if you want that, then we're going to, you know, twist your arm behind your back and make you give up this in order to have that.
Right.
You know, and so he's not going to allow that anymore. And it's single subject bills. So can I just get a 3 cheers for that?
Yay. Woo-hoo! Yay. Hooray. It's about time.
You're not kidding. And so, I mean, this guy's good. I mean, all of his colleagues say that about a third of his speech contains some sort of scripture. And I went, fantastic.
That's
to
awesome.
Hear that. And they said, where did he come from? How did he sneak in there? And everybody says, he has no enemies. He genuinely cares for people as people first and as politicians second. So he reaches across to people in a humanitarian type of a way. He tries to treat people with dignity and respect. Oh my gosh, that's a stunner. And then listen to this too. He's not just a great Christian, a great Christian patriot. He's also a constitutional attorney.
Oh,
it
nice.
It says here, prior to his political career, he was the first member of his family to graduate from college with a bachelor's in business admin from Louisiana State University in 1995 and a law degree from LSU's Paul Herbert Law Center in 98. He was elected president of the Christian Legal Society at LSU and subsequently became a successful constitutional law litigator.
Wow. That's what we need right there, somebody that knows the Constitution.
Yes.
And not from a perspective of trying to weasel around it.
And he also said that he didn't get into that position for any other reason other than prayer.
Right.
And wow. I'd have to say, for sure, this is a godsend, absolutely.
Yep. Now, you've got a clip before we close out from General Flynn.
We do. And this is something that hopefully the speaker can address and start taking care of as well. Listen to what General Flynn had to say.
We have the House of Representatives right now is totally, completely broken, and they're totally owned by the corporate lobbyists, and frankly by the globalists who own many of these people because they've been compromised by what they call Codell trips overseas, where these members of both the House and the Senate get compromised by sleeping with children, and they compromise. And these are real things. These are very real things. They get them caught up in the world of big bucks, big money.
Yep, he's right. A lot of them are compromising. That Swalwell calling for rounding up all of the so-called assault weapons. He's the one that slept with a Chinese spy. He's
right. Well, and just the fact that these are DC politicians on Epstein's client list. This is staggering. And this is obviously why the border is being allowed to remain open and all of the child trafficking is going on. And so guess what? Speaker Johnson is going to get a checkmate bill from me right off the bat.
Nice. Glad to see that. All right. Well, you guys be safe out there and you be blessed. Keep the Republic and Israel in your prayers and join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
That's right. You all have a marvelous Monochromatic Monday and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.